Yo, what's happening, everybody? Thanks again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. I am your host, Jerome, and we're on volume number, or well, season number two, volume 10. It's going down in a major way in the world. Man, it's a lot of people that listen to my show internationally, right? I appreciate y'all for checking in, okay? I try to be from an African-American standpoint or from an American standpoint as aware as possible when it has to do with our community and also the United States. I want to start off by saying that I am an actual Black American. And as you all may very well know, and even if you don't know, there has been a lot that's happened to Black people here to hinder and protect, well, to hinder progress and to protect the interest of others, even if it's to the detriment of the environment, the stability to certain states. Even when it came down, and even when it comes down to the survival of America. So I know a lot of you all are listening to me like, what is this dude talking about now? And basically, I'm going to get to this in a minute, but I want to say something. And this is the reason why, if y'all listen to the podcast, I had to let go of the racism conversation, right? From an emotional standpoint, I had to let it go because you can't control how someone feels. You can only control how you respond, okay? And if you listen to the podcast yesterday, or if you have time, you know, just go check it out. And, you know, that's some of that's definitely explained. But in places like Louisiana, Mississippi, these are some of the poorest nations, or I won't say states, within the United States. See, this is the reason why I had to let go of the concept of racism, right? Because it's dumb. And instead of these people that's in power, say, hey, you know what? We're going to create new industries. We're going to diversify the portfolio for these states. So as a result, the quality of living could come up for the people. They won't do it because it's Black people. And as a result of that, you know, a certain population now of white people are falling down into poverty, and they're like, damn. But if we do it for them, now the Black people gonna want some. So shit, we just gonna continue to let everybody slide down. And see, this is something that racist white people never really thought about nor encountered, because the wealthy white counterparts always would be able to, you know, the good old boys club. They would always give them a share and say, well, yeah, you know what, we over here, but y'all could get this part just so y'all be above the Negroes. They always did. But they never thought that the racist elite will say, you know what, guess what? We cutting y'all ass off too. And this is what we're starting to see all around the country, whether these states had a proper middle class or not. What these greedy ass racist people are doing is saying, you know what? We'll even mess over our own so we could get that extra $1 billion. We don't care. So now what's going on is that when these people are with us, the Negro, the black people, and they're seeing the effects of excessive drug use. They're seeing the effects of mental health, right? See, these are things that they've never encountered before. They're seeing the effects of constant swings of unemployment and inflation and having to depend on social service programs, i.e. food stamps and Social Security. Now they're starting to say, oh, shit, y'all people ain't that bad, because now they understand that we damn near have to do what? Work together to fight the real power that be. And now they looking and they have to think about and they have to rid themselves of the racism, because they're in the same communities or either right up the street that we're in, because they know if they get out of bounds, see, everybody ain't as laid back as me. That thing that was duplicated, that happened in Alabama, can be duplicated again, even though I'm not for that. But it can happen again because right now we're in an emotional state of survival mode. Do y'all hear me? Okay. Now let's get to the show. I'm not exactly sure if you all are aware, but if you are a listener to the show, I have a large appreciation for countries like Haiti. Not because, I don't know why I'm drawn to Haiti. I did an extensive report on Haiti. I used to constantly get updates on Facebook from Haiti's UN and different things. It's strange. Once I learned about the scenario and what happened, I just could not keep my eyes and my heart and my soul from Haiti. I don't have no Haitian friends. I cannot speak Creole. Anything like that. I don't know a whole lot of Haitian dishes. But one day, and I'm going to get off my little soapbox here, but I'm going to let y'all know something. My auntie, Miss Beulah Ricks, she had a very, very deep Southern accent. Something that I have never heard before, and all of her children have it. And I'm like, dang, why is it so deep? Why is it so powerful? Why is it so soothing? Why is it so calm? Until I was working at a call center and I got on the phone with a woman. And she said, Jerome, I could tell that you are a very, very smart, upright young man. And it just seems as though, don't you know how you could just connect with people? And I say, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And then all of a sudden we having a conversation. We're on the phone for probably about a good 15, 20 minutes. And I say, ma'am, do you mind if I ask you where you're from? She said, I was hoping you were going to ask me that. She said, I'm from Haiti. I said, wow. I said, you know what? You sound just like my auntie. Amazing. even before that, even when I was in college and all these things, it's just something different. And then I started to dig deeper, and then this is when I found out about that Haiti defeated the French. They were the first free world country, black country, ever. I think this is in the northern hemisphere or whatever it is. I don't know. I'm not good at biology, y'all. But anyway, yeah, they did it. And I said, once I seen this, I was very, very interested to see and do more investigation in regards to why is it that the world shunned Haiti, that they were not able to move forward. Right? And this is when I understood that it was a bigger picture involved. And I'm ashamed almost to say that it took me a real long time to understand that not only that Haiti was in a position because of that, it's also in a position that it cannot help him herself, because that's what they call Haiti. Right? They refer to Haiti as a mother, as a woman, as something, as a jewel. Haiti was a top economic producer. When they defeated the French. The French back then, I think, charged them some type of enormous number, almost $500 million with interest. Man, them people in Haiti got so mad that they killed almost every white person they seen. And then from there, it's horrible. The conditions that these people are in. And then now, just go with me for a little bit, y'all. And then now, we see the constant infighting, power, and money from the people, because there are some people in Haiti that are rich. Oh, yeah. They got the bag, right? But we know that lifestyle doesn't represent the everyday person. We do know that, and we do understand that. We do understand that the president of Haiti was just killed by a group of people. And it seems as though that these people were armed by someone else that was outside of Haiti. That they were given the access by someone else that was outside of Haiti. Okay? It's going to be up to y'all. What I would encourage everybody else to do, because I'm going to move on, but this is just going to be one thing that I'm talking about tonight. It's going to be up for anybody that's listening here tonight. I would encourage you to do some history, research yourself in regards to the Haitian independence. What was Haiti before and after the French took over? And you'll see the large debt and everything like that. Because, and I'm going to say this, it's because it almost appears to make it seem like that wherever black people are, there's a struggle. And that we're not smart enough to maintain things on our own. So, just do that. I'm going to piggyback off that last comment momentarily. There is a silent but yet open conversation about the relationship between France and some countries in Africa. And as a black man, it took me years and years and years. When the answer was right in front of my face, to understand why are all of these African countries suffering? Why is it that in places like Brazil, right, that is basically at this point in time an African country, make no mistake about it, that's what Brazil is now. Because the black people have birthed their way into power. It's over 57% African descent in Brazil and counting. Don't get it messed up. Places in Colombia do, like, and I hate to come back to, you know what I'm saying, some hood stuff, but FYBJ man, when he say, hey, do your homework. It hit different. It really, really hit different when you know what's going on. Okay. But specifically in Africa, see, I was blinded with all of the what? The giving. The donations, the pictures of them showing small children crying with dirty pants and dirty shirts. And we see a fly come from out of nowhere and land on them. And we're like, oh, shit, these people don't got nothing. And at one point in time, it was almost a known fact. This is how uneducated. This is the reason why I don't have a problem saying that, you know what, at a certain point in time, I was ignorant about our own brothers and sisters. And the day-to-day living conditions that they was in, it was a known fact. We always thought that these people had spears and shit in their nose and this and this and this. And we didn't even know that there was a cultural significance with that or anything. And then I'm like, damn. Shout out to Cornel West. I got the Africana Encyclopedia, one of the greatest encyclopedias ever written. And then I started to read. And I started to dig. And the more and more I found, I started to question. So I started to question the exchange students. And they were so amazed that I wanted to know more. They were like, why do you want to know that? Who are telling you these things? And they were so interested, but yet and still they were like, looking at me like it's common knowledge, but I'm saying to myself, I always thought this, I always thought that. And make a long story short, y'all, do y'all homework on this. The minerals that Africa has, the gold, the oil, the access to cocoa, all of these things, and I'm like, why is it that they just won't use it for themselves? I did podcast on African cools and black unity, and I'm trying to make a correlation. And it is, I feel. But maybe 2 weeks ago, they said, hell no, this got to stop. We will not allow a foreign country to come over here and keep getting. If y'all coming over here and getting it, then guess what? We going to sell it to you, not give it to you. Now, understand this. I'm going to break this down. And in these certain regions, y'all got to do y'all homework on this too. But I know, I think one of them is Niger, okay? If you, you know what I'm saying, if you putting the word in the United States terms, it's the same word as, you know, the N word, but it's N-I-G-E-R, okay? They produce almost over 50% of the uranium for France, okay? And without uranium, there is no electricity in France. They say 1 in 3 light bulbs in France is powered by the uranium. That's a mineral that comes from Africa. So the agreement that Africa has with France, or France has with Africa, is that we come over, we get the mineral in return. The money that we give you, which is French, 85% of that goes back to us, and you can run your country on the 15%, on the 10%. That's just like you going to work. Mind you, it's African people that's digging this stuff up and is mining this stuff too. So that's just like you going to work, you working all week, and then you got to go back to your boss and get them, you know, 90% of your paycheck, and they tell you to feed your family with the rest of the 10%. And this shit has been going on not for 40 years, not for 50 years, for almost 150 years. So can you see, just based off of that, the reason why these countries are in such disarray, that are still being ruled by French powers? I know a lot of y'all saying, you know what, Jerome, what in the hell are you talking about? Who was it? Princess Diana? One of these princes from over there who had just died. And all of a sudden, they family or something like that had got upset because they were no longer able to collect money on an annual basis from one of these small countries or something like that. Maybe the Bahamas or something like that. That it's just all niggas, it's all black people there. And I'm like, hold up, wait. Are we really allowing this to happen? Do we even know? So the other day, I just so happened to stumble across this, and I am seeing that it is multiple countries saying to France, you all got to get out of here and get out of here now. Because we don't want y'all to be over us anymore. But hold on, ladies and gentlemen. Guess what else happened? The United States also chimed in and said, hey, look, y'all can't talk to them like that. Allegedly. Y'all can't talk to them like that. And just for y'all doing this, we ain't gonna send y'all no more aid, quote unquote, aid, neither. And I'm like, what? So now, what they are proposing is that they are proposing a currency, an African currency that is based off all of the mineral products that's in Africa. And they're asking and they're proposing, not asking at this point in time, they're demanding. And they're saying, shit, if we got to go to war, we got to go to war. They're holding up guns. They have missiles. And they're saying, you know what? We're ready to fight for this. I told y'all I was going to come back and cook for this on a little bit. So do you see the difference? Do you see the difference between their mindset? They are ready to go to war with their oppressors to change their position in the world for the next 300 to 400 years. And to me, as a black man, when I hear them say that, because I know if they do that, it's going to affect America. I always think from a disaster standpoint, our people will perish. You want to know why? Because who's really in Black America today? That has the foresight to speak about survival from a disaster standpoint. I keep using COVID as a reference point. We've seen it. We've seen it a couple different times in regards to everybody buying up everything. It's going to become a time, a point in time that money that you got ain't going to be no good. The only thing that you're going to be able to do is barter your skills and labor. If you're not a builder, if you're not a thinker, if you can't negotiate, you're going to have some special skill that you could barter that. Okay, well, you know what? Check this out. Your pipe's leaking, right? Mm-hmm. Your car need fixing. And a part of your roof is gone. Yup. Okay. Man, how much you think that's going to cost me? About 15 chickens and I say probably about 15 tomatoes. And 75 pounds of beans. It may sound primitive, y'all. But guess what? When that food gone, people gonna black. They gonna go crazy. We can see, this is the reason why I'm talking about a code of conduct, being black first and having us ready. Who can really say right now, For the black parents that are in the United States, who can really say right now that we're doing everything that we can to put our kids in a better position for the next 50 years, for hell, for the next 30 years? We're not. The Africans are. The Africans that are here, you rarely see a African kid walking down the street. anywhere. And if you do, then guess what? They with their family. Right or wrong? These people do not play about education. The parents these days don't go to parent-teacher conferences. They're not trying to push their kids. They're not trying to do anything. I'm finna get back on the Africa thing in a minute. Okay? What I'm doing is I'm showing y'all, you know what? The people in Africa are saying to themselves, you know what? If we live or if we die, we gonna go out on top for the next generation. We're laying it down. We're saying our lives are over with. The people that's in leadership, they are saying our lives, this is, in so many words, what they're saying is that our lives are over with. We have younger children that's coming after us, and we need to make a better example for them. So guess what? If you ready, come on, let's go. We finna take what's ours. See, this is the reason why that I said, and if y'all listened to the show yesterday, I'm making it clear. This is the reason why I said, you know what? Mentally, we need to move on from reparations. Right? Because it's nothing physical. It's nothing physical. It's an idea. It's an idea. It's something that was made up and told to us. It's nothing physical that we have that we could grab onto. These people are saying, you know what? We're fighting for our land. Huh? Our gold, our oil, our rubber, our cocoa, our natural gas. This is ours. See, but yet and still, I had to come to that. I had to come to that. And I'm letting y'all know. We may have to move on from that and just take the L and say, guess what? For the next 30 years, we finna go as hard as we fucking possibly can. It's about to be, or it not about to be, it is a new United States. Snap out of it. It's new. Everything is new. The things that we did, the time that we wasted, the resources, everything. We can't do that anymore. The world is not going to stop until we get our shit together. And I'm listening to these people. And I'm forming connections with them because I can feel it. I can hear their desperation. I can hear their hard work. I can hear their dedication. And they are saying it is a call from the wild today. Right now. But we want to talk about who the fuck get the first piece of chicken, the man or the child. We want to talk about what can you do for me lately? This shit was 80s shit. That song was in the 80s. We want to still roll up, rolling on goals or with the Maybach. That was early 2000. We still wearing these bogus ass diamonds that we paying the Arabians for. That shit ain't nothing. It's nothing. We don't want to show compassionate for one another because we are so afraid that if we actually help somebody, either they gonna betray us. Right? Or we might just be on the same playing field. You see what I'm saying? These people are saying they are tired of seeing Africans die. They are tired of it. And I can guarantee you, they have definitely seen more death than anything we've seen here. They have definitely been uncovered from everything. This is the reason why I say that black people in the United States are some of the most blessed people in the world. There is no way possible Jim Crow is anywhere close to apartheid. There is no way possible that these damn voting restrictions here in the United States for black felons and people that have mandatory minimums and these drug sentences, it ain't shit to what these African people was going through when they was over there killing their ass if you didn't vote right. The food stamp program here is nothing like if you waiting on a damn airplane in a little built-up ass hospital to come and make sure that you got some fresh water. And they don't even have like cereal and shit. They was passing out grains. It's nowhere near it. Snap out of it. This is the reason why, y'all, that we have to humble ourselves amongst ourselves. This is the reason why I say that, you know what? Black people right now really and truly just need to unplug for a good 5 years to get to know each other again. To disconnect from the entire... Because these people... The Africans, they're ready to disconnect from the entire world. They're ready to disconnect from the entire world, from any Western philosophy or anything. They're done. Yes, I'm in my kitchen, y'all. I've been going hard. But, and this is not even everything, right? They're letting them know. They say the West, but they do mean France, right? That they're rejecting their education system. Yeah. They're starting to say that they're pulling away from the languages. That they want to go back to things that was more cultural. And I'm saying to myself, right? The thing that's missing with us is that the older leaders, the ones that are in their 50s, some even in their 40s, they are saying that they are willing to do what? To step down and coach and mentor new young leaders. Who in the black community is talking about this, y'all? Outside of myself, I've been saying this. And yes, I toot my own horn, right? Yes, I do. But when I say things, you know what? I've done the research. And I could challenge you, just to look at any political organization in the black community today, 70% of churches in the black community today, how many black pastors you see that's 25 years old? What mentoring programs are going on? And this is no disrespect to the ones that are, because these people were smart and innovative in their time. This is the reason why leadership should be studied, evolving, and iron sharp as iron. These people, they're ready to do it. They're taking on the most, I would say the most progressive. This is progressive. What we're doing, I don't know what the hell that is. Yeah. So I'm saying this for all the people out there that's wondering how to get involved and connect with your brothers and sisters over there in Africa and look for guidance. Now, one thing that I don't agree with, well, I'm not going to even say that right now. And look for guidance in regards to leadership and confidence and being bold and stepping out on faith with action. What can we do that can equivalent that? What can Black America do that can equivalent what these people are trying to do in Africa? And all of them are talking about one thing: solidarity. As one, we have to come together as one. The individualism, the conversations about the light skin and the dark skin. Oh my God, we still having these conversations. All of that shit needs to stop. You black. That's it. It's no way around it. And for the ones that's half black, they damn sure ain't gonna accept you if you say, you know what, I'm half white. You black. Just get over it. We have to stand in solidarity. And I promise you, y'all, if we do, if we build our own corner stores, if we build our own corner stores, if we support black farmers, if we support black businesses, as a people, if we build our own pharmacies, if we build our own hospitals, if we invest in our own healthcare systems, if we reinvest in our own educational systems, who knows where we would be? Because I'm going to let you know something. The foreigners that's coming in now, these people are uber educated. Just Google the CEOs that are running these companies. Visa. Google. Google somebody. You ain't gonna see nobody black. Right now, you damn near ain't gonna see nobody white. These people are Eastern Indian. And I can guarantee you this. Do you think that their number one concern is to see the rise of Black America? You got to be crazy. If you do. But check this out. I'm not even going. I will say this. The only thing I don't agree with. Well, what they doing is they getting in the bed with Russia. But hey, at least they saying, you know what, something got to change. Man, I think it's time that we really start need to check ourselves and what we allow in our culture and what's acceptable. And stop these people from letting us know what they think should be acceptable. I could guarantee you this. I could guarantee it. How many white men do you see in dresses? With lipstick and shit. Parading themselves in front of everybody, for everybody to see. How many? How many Asian men? How many Mexican men on national television showing themselves to impressionable young children that look just like them? And on top of that, what are they saying to them? To us? They damn sure ain't telling you to get no damn nano tech degree. They damn sure ain't telling you to get to grab a skill so you can feed your family. They're not telling you nothing about credit. They're not telling you nothing about how to get a mortgage. They're not saying anything like that. Because the message that's coming to us is all bullshit and it's all garbage because it's not showing us how to do what? Form a power base. Man, the best way that we can stand with Africa is that we can form our own solidarity here in the United States. To regroup, rebuild, and overcome. Thanks again for tuning in to the Chicken and Kool-Aid podcast. Man, y'all share this. Even if y'all don't agree with it, I don't care. Even I know my approaches may be extreme. Share this with your friends and family. Have discussions about what can you all do as a family to bring yourselves out of poverty. As a family, not as one person, as a family. How can we as a people start showing more love to one another? Thanks again. Y'all have a great evening.